Well, it's so good that you've joined us today. I really believe and pray that this message will inspire you, lift you, and fill you full of faith. I hope you enjoy.
The Bible says this in Mark chapter 10. It says this, verse 46. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. And when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." However, many of the people yelled at him, "Be quiet." But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat. He jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man replied, I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. I want to speak to us today about a very simple thought, but a powerful thought: encountering the power of God. Encountering the power of God. If you want to encounter the power of God this morning, would you just take a moment and lift up your praise? Maybe raise up your hands, open up your heart, raise up your shout to heaven. Come on, if you're ready to encounter His power, His presence, His glory, come on, can we take a moment and just praise Him for a moment more today? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is greater. He is stronger. He is higher. He is above all, in all, through all, underneath and undergirding all. He is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He is our Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer, our Breakthrough, our Glory, the Lily of the Valley, the One who is above all. He is the Lamb slain. He is our Savior. God, today we worship. God, today we look to You. We magnify You. We make You larger than any other thing in our life. We choose to set our gaze upon You, because God, we know that in You, we know that with You, nothing is impossible. So God, we glorify You today. We gather together for no other name but Yours today. We praise You today. And God, we know that Your word says where two or three are gathered, there You are. And so God, we thank You for Your promise that You are here. You are with us. You are in us. And God, we open our hearts, our minds to You. Let that spirit of wisdom, revelation rest upon us. God, we pray simply, don't let us walk out these doors the same. In fact, God, we give You permission. Change us. Do whatever You want to do. Change our minds. Change our hearts. Change the way we see. Change the way we think. Change what we're hearing. Give You glory. Come on, if you got faith, take a moment longer. Come on, let's praise Him this morning. Hey. You may be seated. You guys can take a break. It's great to see you in church. I want to talk about encountering the power of God. We had an opportunity on Wednesday night this week. It happens once every 2 weeks, where we gather our leaders together of Planet Shakers, and we had we do this most times. We gathered together. We had an hour of power, hour of prayer together, where the power of God moved, and we prayed for you. We prayed for Melbourne. We prayed for Cape Town. We prayed for Australia. We prayed that God would continue to move. We prayed for His kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And then we had an opportunity, like we do every other week, to gather our leaders, to exhort, to encourage. When you all have an urban life this week, well, the off week of urban life, it's like urban life for leaders, just with 1,000 people. It's a lot of fun. If you're not a leader, you should consider it. It's a good time. But I had an opportunity to gather our Urban Life coaches together this week, our Planet Union, our adult coaches. And I spoke about a few things, but very simply, I reminded us of what the Great Commission is. The Bible says in Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them, hello somebody, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, all authority I have been given on heaven and on earth, and I go with you. That's his promise. But the commission, the co-mission, the mission we get to walk out with him is to go into all the world. I've had the privilege and honor over almost 20 years now of being some sort of leader or pastor with people in church. And many times I've sat and talked with people who want advice. Pastor, should I do this or should I do that? Should I study this course or should I study that course? Should I follow this career path or should I follow that career path? And undoubtedly, I believe God cares. I believe God has a word. The Bible says that he knows when we stand up or sit down. He knows what we're going to say before we even say it. The Bible says that he knows how many hairs are on our head. That's right, Tavonga. If you can't see him, he's bald, but that's all good. God knows the details. So I believe with all my heart that God cares about those details of our life. But also understanding the Great Commission that's superseding and overriding every one of those choices and paths that we could take is this Great Commission. Whether we become a doctor or a lawyer, whether we become a teacher or a nurse, whether we fight fires or we light fires, like a fighter pilot or a firefighter. Not a bad fire starter. Praise God. Whatever career path we choose, overriding all of those things, is that every single one of us is called to go into the world and to make disciples. Make no mistake about it, that's what we're doing here. That's why we built a church in Melbourne. That's why we moved here. That's why we go out onto the streets and say, come on, would you come in and encounter God? We are here for revival, nothing less. We are here to see the city saved. We are here to see communities change. We are here to see a nation understand and know that God is good and that God loves them. That's what we do here. Revival. That's what we're praying for. And that's, see, the Bible says it is not the judgment of God that leads people to repentance. It is not the shame of sin that leads people to repentance. You know what the Bible says? It is the love of God that leads people to repentance. That's what I want Melbourne to know. I want Melbourne to know that God loves them. I want you to know that God loves you. I want Australia to know that God loves them. That's the message. That's the gospel. That's the good news. God loves you. That's good news. And this privilege that we have, we're about to do it in O Week. We're about to go and meet a ton of people that we've never met before and somehow, some way pray that we can build a bridge between where their life experience is right now and to build a bridge for them to come in to God's presence and have their own encounter with him. Because I'm happy for them to encounter me, but I also know that I'm not their savior. And if I can help people to encounter God, that's what changes lives. In the encounter with God, everything can change. In an encounter with God, in a moment, everything can turn around. The Bible says that nothing is impossible with God. That's the God that we serve. There's not a circumstance, there's not a situation, there's not an obstacle, there's not a lack, there's not a loss that you go through in life that God is not greater than, higher than, stronger than, above it. Which is why when we come into his presence, it's so powerful when we begin to lift him up. And, you know, we could use many scriptures in the Bible today to talk about encountering the power of God. I think of John chapter 12, where Mary comes in and encounters Jesus. The Bible says she breaks open a perfume that is worth nearly a year's wages. I was going to say a year's wages. It was worth a year's wages. And no matter what you earn yearly, no matter what you earn in a year's wages is a year's wages. It's a lot of money for us. And she broke open this sacrifice and began to anoint Jesus with it, poured the oil over his feet and began to wipe his feet with her hair. Now that is an extravagant worship. That is an over-the-top act of praise and devotion. In fact, the people around her began to judge her and began to shame her, saying, why would she do such a thing? Why would she waste her worship on Jesus like that? Why would she waste her passion on Christ like that? They began to mock her and judge her, but make no doubt about it, she ignored the crowd, continued to worship, and changed the atmosphere and the aroma of that place. See, what happens when we encounter God is we are changed. The Bible says that when we see Him, we become like Him. See, when I have a God encounter, you may need a miracle this morning. You may be in here today and you're like, I don't need a miracle. Life is good. Things are going well. My bank balance is fine. Like, it'd be great if it was higher, but it's fine. Like, I didn't need a miracle. And my body doesn't need a miracle. And my relationships don't need a miracle. Like, everything's kind of going fine. But we still need an encounter with God. Because understand, we will never get to the end of who God is. We will never run out of discovering the goodness and the love and the power of God. That God is always calling us up and calling us higher. And I came with a word today because I believe that God is challenging us, challenging some of us specifically, that you got to go higher, that there is greater that God has for you to step into, that today He is calling you up and He is calling you out to say, come on, would you come higher? Would you come up higher? Would you go from the glory that you know to a greater glory, from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from freedom to freedom, from breakthrough to breakthrough? He has greater for you to encounter. We need an encounter with the power of God. And so we find ourselves today wrapped up in this story with blind Bartimaeus. And we read very early on that as this crowd of people were walking down by Jericho, they encounter, or this rather, this blind man encounters this crowd. And he is sitting by the side of the road. Understand, rewind in history, 2,000 years, there was no possible way for a blind person to make a living on their own. And so he sat by the side of this busy thoroughfare, trusting and believing that the charity of people would donate to his cause of simply being able to stay alive. And he sat with a coat across his lap, begging day after day, same spot, same place, same people, same beggar, asking for money and the charity of people to allow him to live. But this story takes place as well sometime towards the end of Jesus' ministry. So I dare say a blind man sitting by the side of a road where people are going back and forth day after day, I dare say he would have heard the rumors, the sound, the stories of this man named Jesus. This man who'd been going around for close to 3 years at this point in time, seeing people saved, seeing eyes open, seeing mouths open, seeing the lame walk, seeing the dead be raised, turning funeral parties into resurrection parties. And he'd heard the stories. So as this crowd is walking down the road, this blind man sitting there, not being able to see, but being able to hear, all of a sudden he hears the noise and the murmurings that, yes, there's a crowd of people coming, and in the midst of that crowd is a man they call Jesus, Jesus the Christ. And something came over him on that day. Something came up in his spirit that day, that a passion came upon him that caused him, the Bible tells us, to begin to shout. From the outset, he began to shout. The moment he heard Jesus was coming, something in him recognized that there was someone with a greater power on their way than the power of the situation he found himself in. I don't know if he knew exactly what was going to happen, but I'm sure he knew something could happen. And he began to shout. The Bible tells us, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, this is where the story gets entertaining, because the Bible tells us that in that moment, he was also surrounded by people, and the people began to shout to him. The people began to speak to him. Shut up. Keep it down. Be quiet. You're embarrassing us. Your passion is ridiculous. Just keep down. You're a blind man anyway. What are you going to do? What do you matter in this moment? Keep it down. Jesus is coming. Now, this is such a great, important lesson for us to learn, because it's so important that we don't live our life dictated by the crowd, the voices of often faceless people. I'm telling you, it's 2019. There's a crowd. And there is a crowd who always has something to say. I dare you, just post something online. People will say something about it. And I love this. The blind man, he's shouting because passion was driving him to shout out of his normal situation towards an encounter with God. And the crowd surrounds him and tells him to shut up. And I love his response because the Bible doesn't tell us that he clapped back at them. The Bible doesn't tell us that he got into a debate with them. The Bible never tells us that blind Bartimaeus logged back online and began to shout back at them saying, "You don't understand. How dare you? I'm offended." Everyone's offended. Gosh. He never clapped back at him. He heard what they said. I love it. I can almost picture it. He wouldn't have looked at them because he was blind, but they say to him, "Shush." And he's like, no response, no nothing. Just shouts louder, "Jesus!" It's awesome. It's such a great response. Regardless of what the people were trying to say, he just shouts louder. And this is a lesson I believe we all need to learn today, because passion came over him. Passion in that moment caused him to shout and to shout louder. And there is something to be said about passion, because this man's act of passion, this passionate shout towards Jesus, grabbed the attention of heaven and stopped the Savior in his tracks. The Bible says that Jesus was walking down the road and all of a sudden he heard the passion of this man. And the Bible says Jesus stopped. He stopped where he was going. He was getting ready to pass this man by, but because of his passion, he stopped and his attention was drawn towards this man with a need. Can I tell you, when we get into the presence of God and when we come into the house of God, something happens when there is passion that comes on us. I don't want to come in with familiarity. I don't want to come in with a sense of normalcy. I don't want to come in thinking this is just the same old, same thing, day after day. No, it's an opportunity for a miracle. It's an opportunity for my breakthrough. It's an opportunity for me to encounter the King of Kings. Some of you all are getting it. Something powerful happens in our passion. When we are passionate for our God, when we are passionate for our Savior, we can grab and attract the attention of heaven. So the Bible tells us that he stopped Jesus in his tracks. And what the Bible says next is that he threw his coat aside. Well, in fact, I skipped a bit. Amazingly, as soon as Jesus stopped and said, "Call that man over here," this same crowd that was telling him to shut up, to be quiet, to shush down, all of a sudden Jesus said, "Call that man, bring him over here." The crowd's like, "Oh yeah, hey, cheer up, he's calling you." Isn't that just like the crowd? Never would admit that they're wrong. Oh no. No. Cheer up. He's calling you. And the Bible tells us that this blind man threw his coat aside, jumped up to get to Jesus. Now, I've never been blind in my life before, but I don't think if I was blind, jumping would be on the list of things that I'd be comfortable doing. This man was so passionate to get into the presence of Jesus. But I want you to think this through and put yourself in the position of blind Bartimaeus. See, as he's sitting by the side of this road with his coat across his lap, begging for people to support him simply in his desire to stay alive. People would throw money down to him and they would throw it as they would lay their coat across their lap. They would throw this money into his lap. And so literally positioned across him, between him and Jesus, was his coat and the money on top of it. And the Bible tells us that Jesus called Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus said, "Hang on a sec, Jesus," counted his money, counted his day's taking, put it in a nice little Ziploc bag, tucked it inside his pocket, folded his coat, and then slowly walked to his Savior. Doesn't say that. It says that he grabbed it and threw it aside. Now, you may not be blind and you may not be a beggar, but we have a lot to learn from this blind Bartimaeus today. Because every single one of us has some measure of money. The Bible, I hope you understand this, the Bible never says that money is evil. Some people think the Bible says money is the root of all evil, but that's a misquote. The Bible actually says it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. See, when you allow money to come between you and Jesus, all of a sudden, in fact, the Bible says it like this, you cannot worship both God and money. You got to choose. And when money is between you and God, can I tell you who's first in your life? It's money. Money is not an issue, having money. When you have money, there's no issue. Sometimes people think that having money is the issue. Having money is not the issue. When money has you, that is when it is an issue. And so there are people in this world with lots of money, and that can be an issue because that is their focus and it takes their focus off of God. There's other people where they don't have enough money, and their lack of money and their need, that becomes their issue and that becomes what they pursue. Again, equally, it can take your focus off of God. Now, we're talking about money, but we could talk about anything. If your worries have you, that can be a problem. Rather than you having a worry in your life, when your worries have a hold of you, that can come between you and God. When your stresses in your life have a hold of you, that can come between you and God. When your circumstances have you, instead of you simply being in circumstances, that can be a problem. When your pursuits own you, rather than you having a pursuit, that is a problem. When your studies have you, that's a problem. When your career has you, that's a problem. Nothing wrong with studying, nothing wrong with having a career, nothing wrong with having money, but when those things have you, they can pull you away from that encounter with God. And Bartimaeus' money sat between him and Jesus. And this man who relied on people's charity simply to stay alive without a second thought threw it to one side because there was something in that moment he recognized, I can't allow anything to come between me and my Savior. He had to encounter the power of his God. I want you also to know this, that wrapped up in that coat was not just money. Wrapped up in that coat was his identity. Much the same way that we can often tell what people do by the way they dress. If a man or a woman is wearing a business suit in the middle of the CBD on a work day, they're probably working in a corporate environment. If someone's walking down King Street in a robe and wigs, they're probably a barrister or a very strange person. If someone's walking out the front of a hospital in scrubs, they're probably a doctor or a nurse. If someone's walking around in a particular uniform, they're either a police officer or a firefighter. We can tell what people do often by the clothes that they wear. And much the same way in those days, beggars would have beggars' coats that were convenient to lay across their lap and have money thrown in. It would be a money collection thing. And then at the end of the day, they would put their coats back on and you could probably tell who was a beggar just by what they wore and how they walked. Much the same way we can walk around the city of Melbourne and see those people who are without a home, much because of the way that they wear things. But can I tell you that our identity is so much more than what we wear, just in our clothing. We bring our identities into church on a Sunday. Sometimes the identity that people can bring into church is one that looks a bit like this. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to be wearing a uniform. You could wear whatever style clothing you want. But all of a sudden we have a worship leader or a praise leader up here on stage. You're like, come on, raise your hands. And you're like, and you're here, you're at church, you may even open your mouth and sing a few words of the songs, like, come on, clap your hands. You're like, now it doesn't make you a bad person, does it? But a lot of times you speak to people like this, you're like, oh, it's not who I am, you know? I'm just not a happy clapper kind of person. I'm just not like a raise my hands in church kind of person. I'm just a little bit different to that. It's not who I am. Well, I would suggest to you, which you are you talking about? Are you talking about the you that God calls you in here, where he says, clap your hands, all ye people? He doesn't say a particular age group or a particular culture or a particular personality. He just kind of covers it by saying all. And last time I checked, all means all. So he says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph, for God is great and greatly to be praised. Last time I checked, that applies to all of us. So when we come into church saying it's just not who I am, I might suggest to you it's not the you who God's called you to be. It's the you who you've allowed yourself to become. But let me go further. Can we go deeper today? There's other identities that come into church. Some of y'all are here today. There's the single identity. And you walk into church as a single person. And the worship leader's like, raise your hands. You're like, okay. And your hands are raised, but you're not worshiping the Creator. You're worshiping the creation. Your attention and gaze is not on Jesus. It's on the girl three rows away, two seats across. You're like, if I raise my hands and slightly flex, she'll be impressed. And we're laughing about it. Praise God, I pray that you meet the one sometime soon. But could I suggest to you one of the greatest ways to meet someone who you would partner with in life is to set your gaze and attention on God and run as hard and as fast as you can and then see who's doing the same thing. I think that's the greatest way to find someone. But we can bring, okay, yeah, let's clap that. Let's go single people. Give us a shout if you're single. Yeah! But we bring our identities into church, and that's a funny thing. We laugh about it, but when it stands between us and an encounter with God, the reality is you are missing the fullness of that moment of what God wants to do. The Bible says it is the glory of God. Hello, breakthrough and glory. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it is the glory of kings to search out that matter. What that means is God has encounters ready waiting for us. He has miracles and goodness that we are yet to discover in the glory of His presence. And as we step into His presence on a Sunday or on a Tuesday or a Thursday or a Monday, whatever day it is in the morning or in the evening, we get to search out in His presence. God, what is it that you have for me today? What encounter? What word? What breakthrough? What change of mind? What vision do you have for me today? And we get to search Him out. Anything that we allow to stand between us and God is holding us back from encountering His power and His goodness. What else have we got? We've got this identity too. Some of y'all might be here right now. We've got this identity of, I had a bad week. You ever had a bad week? Don't raise your hands. Every one of us has had a bad week. Not necessarily this week, but we've had one in our life before. And we can come into the house of God. You've had a bad week. Song starts. I hate this song. Why do they always do this one? The lyrics are, I don't like the way they say that. Oh, I don't like the guy that's playing that guitar. It's always a bit out of tune. Oh, I don't like that person. Oh, he's up on stage again. Oh, I don't like that guy. The way he dresses. So and everything's bad because you've had a bad week. Now, can I be honest? I don't want to trivialize your bad week. Because the reality is some of you all have bad weeks that are really bad, legitimately bad, because we go through bad things in life sometimes. That is life. Sometimes there are bad circumstances and situations that we can find ourselves in the midst on. So I certainly do not want to trivialize what you may find yourself in the middle of right now. But the truth is, no matter how you look at it, if you come into church and wear your bad week in the middle of praise and worship and encountering God, then the reality of what your actions are saying is that your theology is your problems are greater than your God. But when we come in here after having a bad week, that's our identity. But when we come in here despite the week we've had, I'm beginning to say, God, I don't feel like this. I don't like the fact that I'm going through what I'm going through. This is not comfortable for me, but I choose to believe that you're good. I choose to believe that you're greater. And we begin to clap. We begin to raise our hands and we begin to shout and we begin to dance. All of a sudden, we become someone who's not allowing the identity of what we find ourselves in the middle of to hold us back from an encounter. Because friend, I'm telling you, whether your week was good or bad, whether it was amazing or terrible, what we need is an encounter with the presence and the power of God. Because God has a breakthrough, God has a miracle, God has a word, God has a healing, God wants to take you further, God wants to take you higher, God wants to take you where you've never been before. And when we step into His presence with no thing, no identity, no circumstance, no surrounding holding us back from our Savior, can I declare to you today that nothing is impossible with Him? That when we are with Him, nothing is too hard, nothing is too great, nothing is impossible. What we need is found in Him. What we need is found in Him. There's one more thing we got to share before someone else happens. What happened is this man made his way to Jesus. Jesus asks him a question, says, what do you want? You've been shouting, you've been making all that noise, all that passion. What do you want? And the man looked back at him. I can't imagine we would say anything else if we were in his same situation. It's like, I want to see. Jesus, I want to see. Not seeing hindered this man from having what everyone else had. And we can all be like that sometimes. We can find ourselves in the presence of God and we look around. It's like, God, they've got that and they've got that and they've got that. I want that. He wasn't able to live. I'm sure he wanted to have his own job and work his own job so he could make his own money and make a living for himself instead of having to rely off the charity of others. I'm sure he wanted to start a family. Or if he already had a family, he probably wanted to see them. I dare say he just wanted a normal life. He wanted some sense of normalcy because his situation was holding him back from having what everyone else had. So in that moment, Jesus says, what do you want? He said, I want to see. And of course, what happens? He's healed in that moment because that's the power of our God. There's no diagnosis, there's no label, there's no condition, there's no situation, there's no sin, there's no failure that is greater than the love and the power of our God. And in that moment, in an instant, he was healed. But what did he do with his miracle? What did he do with his encounter? The Bible actually says that Jesus looked at the man and said, you're healed. Your faith has made you well. And then Jesus says, go. He sent the man out to live his life. He sent the man out to pursue his own dreams. He sent the man out to go and start his family or to begin a career, begin to do what everyone else had been able to do all of those years. He sent him out to go and live his destiny. But he didn't go. The Bible doesn't say that he went and started a job, started a family, made some money, did this, did that. The Bible actually says even after Jesus said go, the Bible says that he didn't go. He turned and followed Jesus down the road. He became a follower. He became a disciple. Nothing wrong with pursuing the career, nothing wrong with pursuing the family, nothing wrong with pursuing his own paycheck, but he pursued Jesus first. That's what I want to be with my life. I want to be someone who pursues him first. I want to be someone that builds bridges between those who are far away from God and bring them in to an encounter with him so they can also have their miracle, so they can also step into this environment and encounter and experience what we get to do every single week. I want to be someone that encounters him and helps other people encounter him, because I know that in the presence of our God is any miracle we need, is the breakthrough that we need, is the word that we need. There are some of you all here today and you're the ones that are needing a miracle. You need a breakthrough. You need a healing. Some of y'all need your provision. Some of y'all need a word of God. Some of y'all need some glory. Some of y'all need a breakthrough. I don't know what it is you need, but I know that we all need an encounter with our God.
Hey, it's been so great that you've been able to join us today. I hope that your faith is filled. If you have any prayer requests or you want to connect with us any further at Planet Shakers, why don't you be a part?